If you or a loved one has a hoarding problem, let's work together on a solution.
Hello, thank you for dropping by the Hoarding Solution Podcast and listening in to Tuesdays with Tammy. Today, I want to talk about the intergenerational trauma of hoarding. And it has been shown that hoarding shows up in clusters. So a particular family might have a person that hoards in their family, but if you look at the family tree or the family situation, you might find that it is not only that person that has a hoarding issue. And I'm going to talk a little bit today about how I've seen the hoarding show up in my family and like this ongoing issue that has been a part of my family for several generations. And I honestly don't know if I would have ever figured all that out if I hadn't started looking at this issue. And so what I have found is that a lot of people that hoard are dealing with some level of unaddressed trauma. And we don't always know what that trauma is, but in some cases we do know. And it can lead to people finding coping mechanisms to handle that trauma. And hoarding happens to be one of those coping mechanisms. And what I have found is that people really need to know you care before you do anything else in these situations. That can be hard to show sometimes if it's a really severe situation that you're being called to deal with. But if you look at the fact that these are all people, no matter what, if it's the person that hoards or if it's the peripheral person, the family members, the adult kid, parents that hoard, the youth living there, if you're a firefighter, first responder, property management, a concerned citizen, neighbor, church member, like we're all people that are looking at this situation and are involved. And I think it's really important and valuable to consider that this is a human condition, not just a stuff problem. That being said, sometimes we have to take drastic action because the problem has been allowed to fester for a long time before it reaches a crisis point that requires intervention. So part of the key is talking to the people, intervening earlier, and there's a lot of work to be done around that. But what I have seen in my own family, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, is at least the known point when hoarding started. And for me, and I have learned this through research and conversations, but I have a great grandma that had a hoarding issue. And then I had two great aunts that had a hoarding problem. And then my grandma, also my mom. And then on my dad's side, my understanding is that my great grandpa had an issue. It seemed to skip a generation with my grandpa, and then it showed up with my dad. And so this kind of created this perfect cohorting storm that kind of evolved throughout the life of my parents and the life of my younger brother and I growing up in that situation. And when I look at the issues that each of these people had, like I don't know the whole story behind my great grandma, but I know that there was a forced clean out and that caused a lot of angst for her. But it was also one of those situations that if she wanted to live in the home, an intervention, a clean out of some sort had to be done. And that is what happened. My one great aunt seem to have a controlled type of hoarding situation where only certain parts of the house had an issue and other parts did not. My other great aunt lived her whole life in a farmhouse with my great grandma. And when I visited that house when I was 13, it was pretty severely hoarded, the space that you could actually access. At the time, I didn't realize that I was getting a preview of what hoarding would look like with my parents in the future. And then my grandma, which I met once, and she had a hoarding issue, but at the time that I met her, it was a pretty organized, stacked, orderly hoard, but all the rooms were full, basically. So you still couldn't use the space, even though it wasn't cascading down and falling. Later on, she developed a more difficult hoarding situation, and in the end had a forced clean out that moved her to a nursing facility. So there's a lot of variations of that problem in my family that I have found in my family history. And I'll just also mention that with my dad, he also was in the hoarded home, and it took basically EMS to pull him out of there, put him on a gurney, get him to the hospital. And he spent his last 3 years in a nursing facility, but that was an improvement over the hoarding situation that he had been in. And despite attempts to intervene by different entities, different people, including myself, you know, there was really no resource or intervention that would work because he wanted to continue living there. And so it took an outside force, an outside entity, to recognize the issue and subsequently not allow him to return to the home. And it wasn't a matter so much of allowing it as his physical condition would not allow it. His mobility issues made it very difficult to navigate a hoarded space. And it, overall, it was just an unsafe environment for someone to be living in who had such balance and mobility issues. Not to mention an unwillingness to take medication or eat and things like that. So there are reasons why it's beneficial for a person to move out of a hoarded home into a facility, even though a lot of people, and you know, none of us really want our freedoms to be taken from us in these situations, but at times that inability to see the problem causes a lot of harm to the people who see the problem. So anyway, what I have found is that there is a lot of intergenerational things going on, and it's not uncommon for someone to have a hoarding issue, to have family members that are either older or maybe siblings or at least relatives that also exhibit a hoarding issue. So I think it's valuable to note that not everyone who comes from that situation will have a hoarding issue. Not every relative does. Some of us are pack rats. Some of us can tolerate a little more clutter than others. But the main piece of that is, can you use your space as it's intended? And there's obviously variations of clutter, levels of clutter, but it's really a matter of, you know, how safe are you in that space? And another aspect is not to overload your building, your spaces, because floors and ceilings will collapse under the weight of things if there's too many stacks of papers or newspapers or just an excessive amount of things that can destroy the property. So there is like this whole piece to the puzzle. There's all these pieces that go into a hoarding issue. And it's still valuable to look at the humans, though, that are living in it, dealing with it, trying to resolve it, because it really is a human condition issue. And it's a systemic issue, and it's a stuff issue, but it's a mental health issue. It's public housing issue. It's a mental health crisis. It's a public health crisis. There's like all these ways that hoarding intersects, and it crosses so many industries and so many socioeconomic boundaries that it's a broader problem than a lot of us realize. The percentage is approximately 2-6% of the U.S. population. Other countries that are similar to the U.S. loosely follow about that same percentage that have a hoarding issue as well. So it is not specific to the U.S. It is not specific to one area. It is widespread. And you may not always know immediately that there's a problem. In fact, you may not know there's an issue until there is a crisis point. But if you're in a situation where you see a problem in advance, my suggestion is to not be silent, but you may need to take a step back and figure out how you can have a conversation, how you can talk with this person kindly, how you can help a family or a person navigate this in a way that has some kindness in there. But you also have to be direct and not silent. And I can definitely help people who are trying to navigate these type of situations. So I am definitely available for virtual consultations, and I'm definitely happy to schedule those. And if you're not at a spot yet where that's what you need, you can also join us in the Hoarding Solution Group. And that is on a couple of different platforms, and I'll put a link to those in the show notes. But I do invite you to consider the trauma and the humans and the people that are in hoarding, and recognize that it is about the people. And ultimately, we need people at the table to talk about it, and to be willing to look at this in a more holistic way. And that's why I'm here. That's why we're having these conversations. And I look forward to connecting with people who might be interested in pursuing a more in-depth conversation around this. So thank you for stopping by the Hoarding Solution Podcast. And thank you for listening in to Tuesdays with Tammy. I wish you a great week, and I'm so happy to be here connecting with you, and I look forward to hearing from you and connecting and learning how I can help.
If you or a loved one has a hoarding problem, let's work together on a solution.